on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
Alrighty, guys, it is time for another episode of the Auto Bid. I'm here with my twin brother Andrew Robinson, and I am Aaron Robinson, your favorite twins. And that was Pull Up Tay on the intro. Make sure you guys go ahead and stream his music out on all platforms. He has a new project, Life Ain't Fair, out. You know, so wherever you stream your music, go ahead and download that. I've been getting some good comments on my man music, so make sure you guys go ahead and check out his music, man. But we got a special edition of the Auto Bid today, man. As we inch closer and closer to March, the regular season is winding down in a lot of these mid-major leagues. Conference tournaments are getting ready to start back up. And there was a lot of action, man, this past weekend in terms of movement and shifting across the mid-major landscape, man. So, Drew, man, how about you get us started with the action from this weekend?
Yeah, man. Actually, you know, but before we get started with that, man, definitely we just broke this news on All Facts Media. Our former teammate Rich Kelly is going to be on the move again. Gave All Facts the exclusive. Shout out to my guy Rich. But he's going to be moving on from BC. If you have not heard yet, suffered a season-ending injury, developed some plantar fasciitis in his foot. BC only has about 3 games left on the schedule. They've already been shut down due to COVID for a couple of weeks. They recently fired their head coach. So it seems like, with this foot injury, this is going to be a season for Rich Kelly. And he's going to be moving on, man. I think that obviously, we know that this is a mid-major podcast. But, you know, seeing that Rich Kelly was our teammate at Quinnipiac at a mid-major, definitely wanted to shout that out on here, man. I think he's going to be a guy that can definitely help out a Power 5 program somewhere. I mean, he definitely played a big role this year at BC, began the year coming off the bench, ended up working his way into the starting lineup by the end of the season, and really proved to be the most reliable guard. I mean, he averaged 11 points per game. And I think that he's a guy that, you know, if given the right situation, man, he could be a starter or a contender, man. I mean, this guy's a pure point guard. You know, I saw him score 40 points, you know, as a freshman on the road at Fairfield a couple years ago, man. I had a front row seat for that, man. But, I mean, he obviously had a game this year, man, scored 27 on the road at Miami. I believe he had 16 at Duke. People, you know, when you look at him, people think, you know, he might not be able to, you know, score the basketball. But, I mean, this guy can put the ball in the basket. He's a pure point guard. He gets guys shots. So I think he definitely could be a guy who, you know, could be like a potential, you know, Mike Smith situation, a guy that was at Columbia, you know, averaged 20 points a game, but then obviously going to Michigan and is now, you know, having a major role in the Wolverine success this year on a top 5 team, man. Starting that point guard, I believe he's averaging around 8 points a game, running the show, doesn't turn the ball over. Older guy, you know, this is a guy, Rich, obviously, who's been a starter, you know, 3 years at Quinnipiac and now played major minutes in ACC. You know, we know old wins, you know, so I think he's going to be a guy that can help a lot of programs out there, man. So I'm definitely excited to see where he ends up.
Yeah, I like the Mike Smith comparison. I mean, everybody was talking about how they were so surprised with, you know, Mike Smith, how he played at Michigan. He's averaging about 8 points a game for the Wolverines. But, you know, he took 22 shots a game at Columbia. And obviously, Richard, you know, was nowhere near that volume. But just in terms of his skill set, you know, a guy that's high IQ, can make shots. You know, he shot 37% from three this year for Boston College, man. So definitely can knock down a 3-ball, man. And he's a guy that really came on, you know, late in the season, man. I mean, he's scoring double figures 6 of his last 7 games, including, like you said, 27 at Miami, 16 at Duke, you know, double figures against Virginia, Syracuse, you know, Wake Forest, NC State. So, I mean, these are no, you know, slouch opponents, man. I mean, you're playing double figures, playing in the ACC, getting double figures, you know, I think anytime you can do that, you know, it's definitely a testament to your skill set, man. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up, man. I think he can definitely be, you know, a starting point guard on a contending team next season.
Yeah, for sure, man. So we'll definitely be following that story, man. You know, but to get to the weekend action, you know, we have a few games, man. The A-10, man. I mean, what can we say about this conference, man? Another week, another just up and down week in the conference. Man, we started off, George Mason gets a win over VCU on the road in a game where, you know, Bones Highland gets injured right towards the end of the regulation, man, which could potentially have some, you know, implications for VCU down the line, man. George Mason is able to get a quality win on the road over VCU. VCU then follows that up without Bones Highland and is able to get a win over St. Louis. I mean, I think that just speaks to the coaching of Mike Rose, man, and this team. I mean, they have guys step up, a guy like, you know, Ace Baldwin, the freshman out of Baltimore, a guy like Vince Williams. I mean, when you have a team like VCU that plays hard and defends, you can never count them out of any game. And to be honest, man, I thought when Bones Highland got hurt, that was going to be it for this team. I think that they were going to, you know, limp to the finish. But, I mean, I think that win over St. Louis basically proves that, you know, this team is going to be a force to reckon with or without Bones Highland. I mean, you know, definitely hope that he can get back, hoping that the injury isn't too serious. You know, but Mike Rhodes is a guy who has done an absolutely great job with this team.
Yeah, for sure, man. They said Bones Highland, this is a sprained foot for Bones Highland. So the x-rays came back negative. There's no breaks. They said basically the initial prognosis of that is going to be, you know, 4 weeks. But the reporter over there, Wayne Epps, reported that Mike Rhodes said that he's looking day-to-day. So I'm definitely would assume he'd be out for his last game of the regular season. They're going to play Davidson. Probably talk about that a little bit later. But I would assume he'd be out for that game. But, you know, for the A-10 tournament, obviously the first couple of games are going to be in Richmond. So, you know, I know they'd love to have him back for those games. I don't know. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, just about how fast he heals, you know. But definitely A-10, man. I mean, it's a crazy conference right now, man. I mean, talk about VCU. We talked a little bit about Vince Williams last week in his drive that he's made, you know, over these last few games. Man, I mean, in that win over VCU the other night, him and Ace Baldwin, you know, were really the two people that stepped up in Bones Highland's absence. I mean, Vince Williams goes for 16. Ace Baldwin, you know, 15.7 assists. I mean, you know, those two guys really stepped up. I mean, Mike Rose talked about, you know, having this next man up mentality, man, you know, before that game. Obviously, knowing that they were going to be without Bones. Talked about having a next man up mentality, man. Those two guys stepped up, you know, big time for VCU, man. I mean, obviously, now that they're in a tie with St. Bonaventure, atop the standings, both of those guys sitting at 10-3 right now. It's split the regular season series. So, I mean, you're going to be racing to the finish, you know, for that one seed in the A-10 tournament between those two teams.
Now, for sure, man, I was listening to the George Mason game yesterday, and I'm pretty sure the I think the top four or five seeds get a bye. So I don't think that obviously, you know, barring anything unforeseen, I don't think VCU will end up playing in the first round of like A-10 tournament anyway. So that'll give, you know, Bones Highland extra you know, extra week to you know, to get healthy and things like that, man. So you know, definitely hoping that they can get back to full strength so we can see the VCU that we're used to seeing. But in other A-10 action, man, Dayton was able to get a win over St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis, I mean, I don't want to overstate this, man, but I mean, I think that they've pretty much, I mean, their at-large chances are pretty much done now. I mean, when you drop, you know, obviously they've already lost to LaSalle. You drop a game to Dayton. You lose to a VCU team without Bones Highland. I mean, those are tough losses, man. I mean, I'm not really sure how they can recover in terms of at-large bid unless they do something unforeseen in the A-10 tournament and really just, you know, run through everybody, because we know, like, you know, the way you play does you know, have some effect on the committee. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, man. But you know, St. Bonnie was also able to get a sweep over Davidson, which created some separation at the top of the standings there. And probably the surprise for me, at least, of the week in the A-10 was St. Joe's was able to get a win over Dayton. I mean, you know, Dayton beats St. Louis, and then you turn around and drop a team to St. Joe's, who come into that matchup only had one. I think they had zero wins coming into that game.
That was their first A-10 win.
Their first A-10 win. So, I mean, it's just – I mean, this conference is absolutely pandemonium. I mean, I think, obviously, the return of Ryan Daly was huge, you know, for St. George not winning. I mean, talking about the A-10, St. George – I mean, I know, you know, as of right now, you know, they're at the bottom of the league, you know, but – when you get a guy, you know, like a Ryan Daly back, you know, that they're, you know, St. Joe's able to get a win over LaSalle. Daly has 30, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's they're going to be a team that can upset somebody, you know, in the A-10 tournament, man. If they're obviously going to be seeded pretty low. You know, we mentioned those first round games. I mean, if they can see, I mean, I don't know, a team, Duquesne, George Mason, UMass, like if those teams don't get a bye, if you see a team like St. Joe's as, you know, a guy like Taylor Funk, who put up 36, you know, in his last game out. And then you have a guy like Ryan Daly that can get 30 or 25. I mean, anything can happen. You know what I'm saying? Anything can happen. So St. Joe's is going to be a potential, team in the A-10 tournament that can shake up a lot of teams' NCAA tournament hopes.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, St. Louis is they're done in terms of an at-large bid. They have to win the A-10 tournament in order to get in. I mean, there's no – you lose to LaSalle, lose to Dayton, and they lose to VCU without Bones Highland. I mean, they're done.
I'm trying to be nice, Ace. You know, I'm trying to be nice and, you know, maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, I guess you're the one that's going to just call a spade on this show, huh?
I mean, look, they're done. Richmond's done. The only team – I think VCU is still alive for an at-large. I think St. Bonaventure is still alive for an at-large. That sweep over Davidson was absolutely huge for them to be able to win those two games. I think it's St. Bonaventure and VCU, man. If St. Louis were to win the A-10 or if, you know, URI or – you know, Richmond would have won the A-10 tournament, then obviously I think St. Bonaventure and VCU are going to be right on that bubble. Neither are safely in. I think both of them would be sweating on Selection Sunday, but I think you definitely, have a shot there to hear your name called on Selection Sunday if they were to slip up in the A-10 tournament. Same cannot be said for Richmond, for St. Louis. I think those two are definitely in a position right now where they have to win the A-10 tournament in order to get into the field of 68, man. But I want to talk about another mid-major conference that had a huge weekend, and that was the Mountain West. Boise State swept Utah State at home, and what was a huge result for Utah State. I'm gonna dive a little bit deeper into this later on in the show, but I mean Utah State, they're gonna be sweating. I mean the Mountain West once was a conference where, you know, they were gonna. I thought at least that they had four teams that should be comfortably in, but Utah State that result hurt the conference, man. And then also that Nevada-Colorado State series got postponed. And that was extremely huge for Colorado State because they were going to have an opportunity to potentially pick up two wins against the Nevada team. That is really good. And so for them to not have that opportunity to kind of boost their resume, I think they're kind of in this position now where they're also going to be sweating a little bit if they don't, you know, take care of business in the Mountain West tournament, man. So I want to talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but that was a huge result for me. Out of the Mountain West, Boise State looks really good, man. They look really good. I think they're a team that definitely could be a potential second weekend team. Leon Rice is doing an amazing job with that team out there. And you know, I think it's gonna be a fun conference tournament for sure. In the Mountain West, man.
Yeah, the Mountain West is always a fun conference. You know, definitely I think that. Weren't they saying that they're going to try to reschedule that Colorado State and Nevada game? I think
they rescheduled some games, but that one wasn't one of the games that got rescheduled. Colorado State is going to play Air Force this weekend, but so they're not going to have an opportunity to play Nevada. So that was surprising, but they did add some games, but that was not one of the games that got added to the schedule.
Oh wow, yeah. I mean, so that definitely gonna be a loss of opportunity there for Colorado State, man. But I mean, also, man, it could be on the bright side, you know, because like I said, Nevada's a good team. So you know, I mean, you slip up and drop a game or two to Nevada, that might hurt their resume even more. So you know, we saw Roy Williams go on a tirade last night because the reporter asked him, hey, you know, Roy, you know, if you knew you were gonna lose this game, you know, would you schedule Marquette? You know, and he's like. Roy goes, I mean, if I knew I would have lose, of course I would have scheduled the game. If I knew I was going to lose, I thought it was just that big. So, I mean, I don't think any of these teams, you know, want to, you know, play any of these games that they could potentially lose. So, I mean, for Colorado State, you know, I think that, you know, you avoid a Nevada team that, you know, and I mean, you're going to be on the road. You know, we're going to be going to Nevada in that game. So, I mean, definitely would have been a tough game, but nonetheless, I think if they finish strong in the Mountain West tournament, as long as they don't get upset by any of the bottom feeders, I think they still have a a decent chance to get in, you know, a better than average chance to get in for Colorado State. And as far as Utah State, like you said, man, they're going to be sweating, man. They're definitely going to have to utilize the Mountain West tournament to try to pick up some wins.
Not for sure, man. Obviously now, and I want to talk about, you know, my favorite conference, my favorite mid-major conference, man, the SoCon. Always, you know, some nonsense going on over there, man. Western Carolina was able to beat UNCG, and Mercer was able to defeat Chattanooga, man. Chattanooga was playing some really, really, really good basketball, man. So, but Mercer is a team that has been pesky all season long, man. I mean, they've stolen some wins against some good teams, man. So I wasn't really, you know, overwhelmingly surprised. It was just more so that, you know, Chattanooga had a chance to potentially get in play for a regular season championship if they had won that game. You know, but obviously, you know, they didn't get the result that they wanted. They now lost two in a row after reeling off five straight and getting themselves into the – I'm sorry, six straight. They won six straight games. But then now they lost to UNCG and lost to Mercer. So they're essentially out of that race in the SoCon for the regular season championship, man. But the SoCon is going to be a fun league, man. I'm going to talk a little bit about this a little bit later as well, man. But those were two big results. UNCG, that loss really hurt them because they were in the driver's seat to win the regular season if they had won out. But now, you know, you drop that game to Western Carolina, and now you put yourself in a position where you have to win just to get a bye. I mean, just to get a share of that regular season championship in the SoCon, man. So it's going to be a fun finish in the SoCon, man, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later as well. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that league down the stretch.
Not for sure, man. For sure, man. Like you said, it's definitely going to be a race to the finish. I want to pivot to another conference that's going to be a race to the finish, and that is the MAC. Absolute pandemonium in the MAC. You know, this weekend we had Iona that, you know, swept Monmouth. You know, that was probably the biggest result of the weekend. You know, Monmouth was a team that obviously is in first place in the MAC as far as, you know, win total. They have 10 wins. Iona was able to, you know, sweep them. After, you know, losing to Quinnipiac last week, Marist and St. Peter's played to a split, an absolute rock fight. You know, no surprise there. You know, we got the former John Dunn team coached by the current John Dunn coach team, and Eugene Holloway has kind of interpreted that same kind of mantra at St. Peter's where it just kind of defend, low-scoring games. So they played to a split. Niagara and Siena played to a split. So Siena goes to 9-3. You know, they're first place in terms of win percentage, but again, you know, second place in terms of, you know, total wins. You know, in the rankings. And I mean, Iona, they get a split. They're 6-3. You know, then that normally would be good for, you know, I think second or third in the MAC, but obviously we know could the total wins percentage. That is not the case. Fairfield and Canisius also played to a split, and QU were able to get a sweep over Ryder, man. That was their third straight win. You know, they're building some momentum. They're going to have a weekend series over Marist that we're going to preview a little bit later in the show. You know, but, you know, with that, man, there are four teams in the MAC that are tied at six wins. Four teams. And, I mean, a mere two games separates third from ninth. You know, from eight games to six games. You know, it's only two games, man. So you can potentially go from third, you know, to ninth if you have a tough weekend and you drop two. You know, so it's going to be a lot of teams, man, that are going to be playing for seeding, playing for those byes in the MAC tournament. As we know, the top five seeds get first round bye. And at this point, I mean, I have no idea how this is going to shake up because it's an absolute logjam between six to eight wins.
Hey, listen, man, I actually had a chance to watch that Siena and Niagara series, and I was extremely, extremely impressed with Niagara, man. I mean, they are a gritty, gritty team. They're currently sitting at 7-9 in the MAC, man, but they gave Siena all that they could handle this weekend, man. I mean, Kobe Nwandu is legit. Marcus Hammond played well on, you know, night one. Night two, he struggled from the field, man, but Raheem Solomon played well, man. But Niagara, they're a feisty team, man. I mean, you know, Siena, you know, had their chances. They would go up. Niagara would, you know, respond with a run each and every time, man. Siena was the same way. Niagara won that first game, so Siena was you know, they had their back against the wall in game two in order to get a split, man. And Niagara was out there like, look, dude, I'm going to make it as hard as possible, man. I was really impressed with how they defended. They're a confident bunch, man. Ballsy. I mean, they were a team. They were down three. Raheem Solomon goes to the line, missed the first one. No, I'm sorry. They were down three. I believe he missed the front of the 1-on-1. They rebounded the ball, kicked it out. Marcus Hammond hits a three to tie the game. And then after the swing session, Sienna throws the ball to half court, calls timeout. They get Manny Camper at elbow ISO. He drives baseline, and he hits Thormo for the game winning layup, man. But that was a game that was looking like it was going to go to overtime in night two. Niagara almost got a sweep over Sienna, man. I mean, their team, extremely well coached. I have to give Greg Paulus props for the job that he's done with that team, man. Also, Reggie Witherspoon as well in Buffalo with Canisius, man. I mean, they're sitting at 6-4 right now. They came off pause and won three straight games before losing to Fairfield in the second game of that doubleheader, man. But they swept Quinnipiac, beat Fairfield in game one, obviously, and then they lost in game two. But, you know, they're currently sitting at 6-4 in the MAC, man. So there have been some impressive coaching jobs. Even Rick Pitino at Iona, obviously, you know, everybody knows he's a great coach. But to not play for 40-something-odd games and then to come out and play with the way that they did was impressive, man. I mean, they're sitting at 6-3 in the MAC right now, man. So, you know, that currently would be second place if we were going to win percentage. But, you know, obviously, because the MAC is only doing it based off total wins, they can wind up being the 10th or 11th seed in the MAC tournament, you know? Just because obviously they're going on pause, but they're not going to play any more regular season games until the MAC tournament, man. So they are tournament eligible. They got to their 13 total games, man, but it's going to be tough for them, man, with all these pauses. The MAC is going to be fun, like you said, man. Also, I want to talk about Quinnipiac. You know, they're hitting their stride, man. I had the opportunity to watch that Rider series, man, and Lewis Courtright and Ty Muchinery are two of the best freshmen in the league. I mean, I think one of those two should end up winning Rookie of the Year. Obviously, Junior Joseph over at Iona is going to have something to say about that as well, because he's had a great year for them. But, I mean, I think when I look at Courtright and Chinnery, you know, I think they're the best two freshmen in the league, man. Obviously, you know, Luke Courtright had a heck of a weekend. He had 25 in that last matchup against Ryder, man. He's been playing really, really good basketball. He's an extremely confident young freshman, you know, out of New York City, man. He plays like a New York guard, man. He has absolutely no conscience. You know, he'll shoot over contest, you know, or anything, man. I mean, Tamu is the same way, man. So, you know, also Jacob Ragone is catching his stride as well in these last few games. And Quinnipiac is going to be a team, you know, obviously they've won three in a row. They're going to have Marist this weekend, but, you know, they're a team that is playing some good basketball right now as well, man. So, the MAC is always a fun league, man. We just got credentials to go cover the MAC tournament. So I'm extremely, extremely excited to get to Atlantic City and cover this league, because this conference tournament, you know, as it always is, it's going to be extremely fun to watch.
Now, for sure, man. Definitely going to be looking forward to that, man. I think, you know, one thing to watch, man, is going to be Sienna, man. I mean, Jalen Pickett's kind of struggled as of late. He only had 5 points, 1-for-9 from the field in that first game against Niagara. Obviously, we know he had that injury earlier on in the year, man. But, you know, it was interesting because, you know, he came out the gate, you know, guns blazing, had 20 the first game against Monmouth. He follows that up with 18 points and 14 rebounds in the second game. Third game had 15 points and 9 rebounds and 6 dimes. So he was like, okay, this is Jalen Pickett that we expected to see, you know, the reigning player of the year. But obviously after that, you know, we know he got hurt. And from there, he hasn't really been himself, man. He hasn't scored, you know, he scored under 10 points. In three of the last 6 games, he's been in single digits, hasn't gotten over 13 points. You know, last game he had 13 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists in the win over Niagara. But I think he's going to have to kind of return to the player of the year, Jalen Pickett, that we know him to be. A guy that's getting, you know, 15, 16 points a game, 7 or 8 assists, you know, and 5 or 6 rebounds. I mean, that's really what he's capable of doing. And I think that, you know, if Sienna's going to be the Sienna that we think, you know, they should be, in the same team that, you know, came out and started off in the MAC, you know, 5-1 or something like that. You know, they won their first three MAC games, 3-0, coming off a pause. I think that they need Jalen Pickett to be Jalen Pickett if they're going to reach their potential. If not, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's going to really emerge. Obviously, we know Deion Hammond. I would say he's probably my pick for player of the year right now in the MAC. Just being that he's been the most consistent, in my opinion, all year, obviously battling Paul and still being able to, you know, put up points and get mom in a position to where right now they're sitting in first place. It's going to be interesting to see, man. As we know for Quinnipiac, you know, from playing Coach Dunleavy, I'll never ever forget, you know, that first year where we were able to make that run to the conference semifinals, man, with Coach Dunleavy, man. And it seems like, you know, he always finds a way to kind of get his team playing, you know, their best basketball towards the end of the season, man. So definitely going to be a team to watch out for come MAC turning time.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, just a little bit about the Skinner thing. I mean, like I said, during the Niagara game, what I noticed, Pickett kind of really does a good job of picking his spots. Like he's not a guy that's going to come out and force his offense. I mean, there was a time where Niagara went up five, and he came out and went on like a little 8-0 run by himself. He hit two threes. Matter of fact, him and then Camber got laid up. Him and Manny Camber, those two guys really do a good job of picking their spots. I think one reason that his production kind of been going down, not necessarily down, but not the numbers that we've seen him, is the emergence of Jordan King. I mean, this dude, as a sophomore, has taken a huge, huge leap, man. I mean, last year he averages 4 points a game. This year he's up at almost 13 a game for the Saints, man. I mean, and he's a ballsy kid. I mean, and there was times in the Niagara game where they needed shots, and he's coming off ball screens, pulling up, knocking down, you know, contested mid-range jumpers, man. I mean, he's a ballsy sophomore, man. I mean, he played really well for them. You know, obviously, in the absence of Jalen Pickett earlier in the year, he went crazy. In those few games, he had a couple 20-point performances back-to-back. Three straight. He had 21, 22, and 21 in three games in a row earlier in the season, man. And you know, obviously, averaged about 10 points per game this past weekend versus Niagara, man. But he's played really well for them, man. He's really emerged as that third option for Siena. On that team, man. And even at times, he can kind of be that first or second option when it comes to scoring, because he can really create his own offense. As you know, Pickett can create his own offense as well, but he's more of a facilitator. He can try to get everybody else involved first, and he'll pick his spots. But I mean, Jordan King has really, you know, impressed me a lot for this Canada team. He's currently second on the team in scoring. So I think the emergence of him is going to be something that definitely, you know, might not have been expected coming into the year, but definitely, you know, been a welcoming sight for the Saints.
Now, for sure, I was going to say, man, I mean, he's right now, he's like you mentioned, man, second on the team in scoring, only a half a point behind Manny Kemper, you know, was leading them in scoring. So, Stan definitely had a three-headed monster there this year. Those guys seem to be sharing the wealth, you know, but, you know, like you mentioned, man, I think, you know, it's definitely going to be a fun MAC tournament. A lot of different teams, man, are going to have something to say, man. And if so, I got a question for you, man. If you had to pick, you know, the favorite right now in the MAC, you know, who would you say that would be right now?
I would go with Siena, man. I mean, the reason I picked Siena is because I watched them the way that they respond to adversity. And I just like the way, like, you know, during the Niagara series this weekend, man, there've been times where they've been down, you know, backs against the wall, and they always seem to find a way to score, you know. And they got timely buckets. Manny Camper made plays, Jalen Pickett made plays, Jordan King made plays, man. You know, this is a team that has been riddled with COVID. Obviously, they've had three or four or five separate pauses this year because of COVID, man. Somehow, you still look at standings, and they're in first place at 9-3, man. You know, so. This is the year where, you know, there is no, you know, I mean, Iona obviously technically is still the four-time defending champion, but, you know, Tim Clues is gone. The only guy on this team that has even played in the MAC tournament is Asante Gist. Who has won a MAC tournament is Asante Gist. And everybody else, you know, this is going to be their first time. So that pedigree can only see Iona, you know, Clues isn't there no more. Obviously, Rick Pitino is a hell of a coach, but it's anybody's ball game, man. And I like the way Siena has been playing. I like the way that they respond to adversity. So if I had to pick a favorite, I would probably pick Siena right now. I love St. Peter's. I love Shaheen Holloway. You know, they're always a gritty group. Obviously, we saw them beat Iona last year in the MAC tournament. And they've showed flashes at times throughout the year, but they've been a little bit inconsistent. And the same can be said about Monmouth. Obviously, they're currently had the most wins in the league, but, you know, they've been a little bit inconsistent as well. And I don't really know if they don't make shots. You know, they're a team that they rely heavily on making shots, you know, with Deion Hammond, with Donovan Toley, and with George Pipes. I mean, I think, you know, those guys, they rely on those guys to put the ball in the basket. And if they're not making shots, I think it's going to be tough for them in the MAC tournament. Because obviously, it only takes one game. You know, it only takes one game for you to not shoot the ball well. And you could potentially be going home. So I think Siena's the team that I think, you know, have done the most when they're back against the wall. So if I had to pick a team, I'll pick Siena.
For sure, man. And, you know, if I'm going to give you – I'm going to give you guys a sleeper. And it's crazy that I'm even saying this team is a sleeper because they're the four-time defending MAC champs still. But Iona is a sleeper, man. And I say this because this. Just knowing the history of the MAC tournament and knowing just college basketball in general, you need a guy – that when stuff gets crunchy, when it's time to get a bucket, you need a guy that can do that.
And Isaiah Ross is that guy. I mean, you know, that second game against Monmouth, he pours in 31 points, you know, and that second one against Monmouth, he's averaging 20 points per game on the season. You know, he's a guy that can fill it up. He's a guy that can score at eight from anywhere on the floor. He's a great shooter, you know, but now he, this year he's, you know, added, you know, being able to, you know, get to the basket as well. Obviously shooting 41% from three, almost 50% from the field, you know, 49% basically. He's incredibly efficient and he's just incredibly talented. And when it comes to, like you mentioned, man, one and done games, you know, the reality is the MAC is a very, you know, closely contested league, right? Like all these teams are very close as far as, you know, as far as ability, as far as in terms of talent, which is why you had that log jam, which is like about, you know, 16, you know, within like two games of each other. So with that being said, the reality is these games in the MAC tournament are going to be close, you know, and when it's nut crushing time and when you have to get a bucket, when there's a minute left, it's a 2-point game and you got to have to give the, who am I going to get a ball to? You know, Iona has that guy, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of these teams in the MAC, it's not a bad thing, you know, but, you know, I think it bodes well. Sometimes, but they kind of are, you know, win by committee. They have guys, multiple guys who are averaging around like from 9 to like 12 or 13. We just mentioned Sienna has three guys at 12 a game. You know, obviously, you know, Quinnipiac, you know, Ragone is at 12. They have a lot of guys that are, you know, 10, 9, 7, 8, things like that. You know, St. Peter's is the same way. I don't even know if they have a double figure score over at St. Peter's. You know, I think, I don't know. So sometimes, all right, well, who are we going to get the ball to? Or are we going to go to, you know, a guy like we're going? Or are going to go to Tyrese Williams? Or are going to go to Courtright? You know, or if you look at, like Shannon, is it King? Is it Pickett? You know, are we going to get the ball to Camper or to ISO? You know, we know Pickett's going to have the ball. But, you know, who's gonna put the ball in the basket, you know, for us? You know, Iona has that guy. You know, Isaiah Ross is going to have the ball. He's going to be able to take games over. He's a guy that can go out and get 30 in a MAC tournament game. You know what I'm saying? And when we think about the teams at Iona, obviously, like you mentioned, it's a new regime. It's not Tim Cruz anymore. But, you know, E.J. Crawford, A.J. English, David Lowry. I mean, they always have had that guy that they can give the ball to and go and get a bucket. You know, and though we had, you know, it's a new regime and Patino's there, you know, the same thing still holds true where they have that one guy that can go and get you a bucket. And you know, you have a guy like Asante Gibbs at point guard who's obviously been to the NCAA tournament and won games, you know, that definitely does go a long way. And obviously a team, a coach in Patino who's, you know, won a national championship and been to Final Fours, you know, that also goes a long way when it comes to teams in March. You have coaches that's been there before, you know, you have players that's been there before and a guy who can just flat out get a bucket. So that's going to be my sleeper, you know, pick for the MAC. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. I think Ross is averaging 20 points per game, but he's never, you know, obviously his first year in the MAC tournament, they lost last year. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, I think Iona, I'm not going to be actually picking Iona. I think Mama will have something to say about all this as well, you know, but, you know, we'll see what happens, man. My last game of the week that I want to talk about was Colgate swept BU. They're now 11-1 in the Patriot League. They're up to 12 in the net rankings, man. So I just wanted to shout out Colgate over there in the Patriot League, man. They're doing amazing things in their league, man. And I think, you know, depending on the matchup, I said this last week, I said this a couple of times, the way they shoot the ball, the way they can score the ball, they will be a team that we will definitely have to watch in March, man. I think they could definitely be on, like, that at 14-3, you know, type situation, or maybe even if they get 13-4, you know, type situation in the tournament, man. So, but we talked about this earlier, man. I definitely want to preview. I want to talk a little bit about the Mountain West, man. I mean, you know, the Mountain West is a league, that, you know, I think San Diego State and Boise State are both comfortably in the tournament. San Diego State obviously returned to the top 25 this week. They're going to be safely in the tournament. They're up to 25 in the net, 20 in KenPom. They're an elite defensive team. Boise State, 32 in the net rankings, 57 in KenPom, but they have some great wins on their resume. So I think those two teams should be good heading into Selection Sunday. But for Colorado State and Utah State, those two teams are going to be sweating. And they're going to have to do some work here finishing the regular season and then obviously in the Mountain West tournament as well. Colorado State right now is sitting at 45 in the net. KenPom has them at 69. Their claim to fame, I guess, is that they've split, you know, against all the top three teams in the league. So they've beaten San Diego State, they've beaten Boise State, and they've beaten Utah State. But they have a bad loss early in the year to St. Mary's. They lost by 20 St. Mary's is a team that, unless they win the WCC tournament, they're probably not going to get into the tournament. You know, they're right now 669 in the net, 79 in KenPom. So that 20-point loss, obviously, was earlier in the year. And St. Mary's is not a bad team. You know, they're definitely not you know, that's probably, you know, quad two, quad three loss. But, you know, by the margin, you know, it doesn't necessarily look great. And then obviously that you know, having that series canceled against Nevada is going to be huge for them, you know, just because of the fact that they're not going to have the opportunity to, you know, get potentially two wins. But also, like you said, they're also not going to have the opportunity to add any more losses to that resume. So they're going to have some work to do in the Mountain West tournament as well as Utah State. You know, they're right now 55 in the net and 55 in KenPom as well. They've claimed the aim that, you know, they've swept San Diego State earlier in the year, and that sweep is going to, you know, bode extremely, extremely large, you know, for them. Obviously, San Diego State is a team that's, you know, one of the hottest teams in the country right now, and they also split with Colorado State. But obviously, that sweep this weekend versus Boise State really, really hurt them. I think they needed to get at least one of those. The upside to them, that they still have two games. That was a game that got added. They're going to play Nevada this weekend. The Davis series. So we're going to see what they do against Nevada, man. I think they can't afford to lose. They dang sure can't afford to get swept. You know, Nevada, obviously, we saw Nevada sweep Boise State earlier in the season. So they're a team that 100% had the potential to shake some stuff up. You know, Nevada, I don't want to overreact here, but they're a team that could potentially be a bench dealer in the Mountain West tournament, man. I mean, they are that good. They might have the best guard in the league in Grant Sherfield, obviously, Wichita State transfer, man. But he is having an absolutely amazing, amazing year. The benefit for Utah State is that they're going to see this team at home. You know, the game is going to be in Utah. You know, so they're not going to have to travel to Reno. Obviously, Boise State had to travel to Reno when they got beat, you know, by Nevada, man. But I mean, Grant Sherfield is an absolute problem. He's averaging 19 points and 6 assists this year for Nevada, man. They are no slouch. So, you know, Utah State is going to have to take care of business this week versus Nevada. And then they're probably also going to have to, you know, do some work in the Mountain West tournament, man. But, you know, that conference might be sweating come Selection Sunday, depending on how these games shake out over the next few days.
Now, for sure, man, it's crazy, man. I'm looking at Sherfield's stats, man. He goes from averaging 8 a game, you know, a season ago to, you know, 19 a game this year, man. That's definitely quite the quantum leap, you know, for a guy, man. But I agree, man. I think, you know, Nevada is obviously a team, you know, that is no strangers to tournament success. You know, their team that's been in the Sweet 16 not too long ago, you know, with that run that they went on with the Martin Twins. Obviously, we know a different regime, you know, different players and things like that. You know, but this is a talented team, man. And obviously, we know, you know, Coach Alfred over there is going to have those guys ready to play, you know, in the conference tournament. So, you know, definitely going to look forward to seeing how that conference shakes out, man. I agree with you 100% that Nevada could definitely be a big stealer, man. I want to pivot a little bit to another conference, man, that had a big-time game, man. The two heavyweights in the America East matched up this week. UMBC and Vermont matched up down here in Baltimore. They played to a sweep. I mean, excuse me, they played to a split. Thus, top of standings remain the same. They both tied at 10-4 atop the American East. We just saw the American East awards actually get unveiled today. Ryan Odom gets Coach of the Year, deservingly so, man, for the job he's done. Those guys over at UMBC. The Retrievers also had two guys on the first team, and RJ Adelrock and Brandon Horvath. They have another, another guy obviously made sixth man of the year. What's my man's name off the bench? Name is evading me right now, but was sixth man of the year, man. So yeah, those guys had a team. Obviously, Vermont had the player of the year for the fifth straight year at that, you know. So I mean, those two teams are definitely going to be, you know, the pride of the American East. And I can't wait for the tournament. You know, I absolutely, you know, cannot wait for the American East tournament, because, you know, that's going to be, I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down, you know, to those two teams, UMBC and Vermont. Obviously, we know what happened in the, 2018 when Jared Lyles made that shot to beat Vermont on the road there. You know, but like I said, you know, Ryan Davis, player of the year, you know, Brandon Horvath and RJ Adelrock, you know, we're on that first team. And
Andre Kennedy is your sixth man.
Yeah, there we go. Andre Kennedy, yes, sir, sixth man of the year. So both of these teams, man, have
Very talented players. Great coaching, man. So that's going to be a race to the finish. I guess the surprising result out of the American East, man, was that Binghamton goes to NJIT and gets a sweep over the Highlanders, man. NJIT had the opportunity, they were sitting at 6-8, had two home games against Binghamton, who was at the bottom of the league, had an opportunity to get, to 8-8, be around 500 in the league and really put themselves in position to kind of make some noise, man. But they lose, instead they go to 6-10. They're in third to last place in the America East, which is, quite surprising to me, obviously coming from the Atlantic Sun. This is a team that, we all thought was going to be at the top of the America East and challenging, a team like UMBC and Vermont. When you have a guy like Zach Cooks, coming from the Atlantic Sun, that's, so talented. But they've struggled thus far, man. And I think that loss to Binghamton, really hurt them, as far as just the confidence. And you want to be kind of getting better and building towards March at this time of the year. Obviously, we know the America East is going to start the playoff now. So that's definitely not, two losses that you would like to have going into the conference tournament.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's honestly a disappointing, loss for NJIT. Now they're going to see Albany in that first round of the America East, conference tournament, man. I mean, it's going to be tough for them, man. I mean, I don't really know. They're a talented team, man. They are a talented team, man. So you hope that they can kind of figure it out. That definitely was a disappointing result for them to lose at home, to Binghamton. It's going to be interesting, man, that they're going to play at a neutral site, in Hartford, Connecticut, when they play Albany in the conference tournament, man. So hopefully, they'll be able to figure it out and, maybe advance in that conference tournament, man. But it's going to be interesting, man, to see what happens with them, because I think they're definitely a team that are kind of disappointed in their first year in the America East, given the talent, that they have.
Now, for sure, man. How about this, man? What's up with Vermont, man? I mean, they got the America East on payroll. I mean, Trey Bell Haynes wins back-to-back player of the years. Andrew Lamb went back-to-back player of the years. Now Ryan Davis player of the year. I mean, can we spread the love around? Like, can somebody get a player of the year award? I mean, sheesh.
I mean, like you mentioned, Ryan Davis had a great year. He's averaging, 19-6, 19-7, basically for Vermont. After they tied for first place. As we know what Anthony Lamb did when he was at Vermont. I mean, his first college game was at Quinnipiac. Well, that was, I think, our sophomore year at home. We thinking we gonna be good. He came in there and had like 30, didn't he? Didn't he have 30 his first college game? Or it was 20?
I don't know if it was 30. I think it might have been like 20 or something like that.
First college game, that's when I knew he was the real deal. There was no more. I didn't have to see anything else. Okay, yeah, this dude's going to be a star, man. And Trey Bell Haynes, he played in some great teams as well. I mean, I was never, super duper impressive. He was a great player, but he was never a guy. But I think, they were cruising through the American East. So, I mean, I think, obviously you look at UMBC, who's tied for first place. But, I mean, their leading scorer, RJ, I don't know, like, averages 14 a game, man. I mean, they have – 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that average at least 8 points. So they're a team that spreads the wealth around. And so it was going to be hard to give it to anybody other than, than Ryan Davis, especially when he's averaging 19-6 and for the regular season champions, So I think it's just deservedly so, man. I mean, somebody else is going to have to come out there and get and take it from him, man. I mean, I was surprised, Zach Cooks couldn't give a better run for their money. I mean, coming in the year, I would have thought he would definitely be in play for that award, but obviously NJIT doesn't have the year that they expected to have, and, Cooks doesn't have the year that he expects to have. Still a good year. I mean, he averages, 16-5, which isn't terrible, but, obviously, considering what we've seen him do, over his career, obviously last year averaging basically 20 points a game, it definitely was a little different. It was surprising to see him kind of struggle in his last season.
Not for sure, man, for sure, man. But to the NEC we go, man. Bryant was able to get a big-time win over Merrimack on the road, man. So, that definitely, was a big-time win for Bryant, obviously coming off pause. They needed that one, man. I mean, Wagner sweeps St. Francis, and they remain at the top of the league at 10-4. Bryant's currently in second place. LIU was also able to get a sweep over Central Connecticut State, so that puts them at 9-7, which is in fifth place. But as we know, Merrimack is currently in fourth, but they can't go to the postseason, so LIU gets into that top four, which is very important because we know the NEC, only four teams are going to be playing for that conference championship. So
obviously it's really going to be kind of a race to the finish there. You know, so Bryant able to, you know, being able to get that, you know, big time win over Merrimack was huge, getting it back in second place. Obviously Merrimack, you know, being in, Merrimack is actually in third. Merrimack is in third right now. But nonetheless, LIU does get into that top four. Right now, Sacred Heart is also currently in third place at top in that top four. So definitely going to be some big time game, man. Some fun basketball to watch, man. But that Bryant Merrimack game was definitely huge. You know, for the Bulldogs to be able to get.
Yeah, they swept Merrimack. They beat them twice this weekend, which was extremely, you know, surprising. I was thinking Merrimack could at least, you know, were they at least going to be able to get one of those wins. But, you know, huge for Bryant to be able to come off and get two of those wins. You know, that keeps him in contention, you know, for potential regular season championship. Obviously, we're right in sitting at 10-4. They got two games versus Central Connecticut this weekend, you know, who's sitting currently in last place. They're likely, you know, going to get to 12-4, you know, barring anything unforeseen. And then Bryant, you know, they're going to have four games left. They got two versus LIU and two versus Mount St. Mary's, man. So they're going to have their chances to get up there and potentially tie for a regular season championship. If they can take care of business, they're going to probably have to win all four, you know, which is going to be tough because, you know, LIU is a very, very good team. Mount St. Mary's is feisty as well. You know, they're still in the mix for a bye. You know, so both of those teams are going to be playing for their, you know, for their postseason lives. You know, a sweep, you know, essentially knocks you out of the running if you're LIU, and especially if you're Mount St. Mary's. So those last two series for Bryant are going to be extremely, extremely important, you know. But they're going to be at home versus LIU, man. So they're gonna have, you know, their home court advantage in that back to back, and they're also gonna be at home versus Mount St. Mary's. So, you know, the all four of their season, all four of these last games, you know, potentially for regular season championship, are gonna be on their home court. So they do control their own destiny in the sense that if they win out, they will have a share of the NEC championship. You know, expecting that Wagner is gonna win these two games at Central, but obviously, you know. If they were to lose, then Bryant could potentially, you know, win it outright. So it's gonna be a fun league to watch, man, down the stretch for sure. I think Wagner and Bryant are in really, really good places right now. And, you know, obviously Sacred Heart, LIU, and Mount St. Mary's, even St. Francis Brooklyn still has a shot. They're gonna need some help. But our guy Travis Aston has been playing extremely well. So we haven't talked a lot about him, you know, this season, but Trav, you know, he's been having a great year over there at St. Francis Brooklyn. You know, Quinnipiac transfer. He, you know, had a tough road. Started at Tulsa, went to Quinnipiac for a year, transferred out, and now he's at St. Francis Brooklyn, averaging 15-7 over there for St. Francis Brooklyn. So definitely want to shout out my guy Travis Aston over there for doing work at St. Francis Brooklyn, man. They're going to need some help to get in. You know, they lost Sacred Heart this weekend. They had a chance to kind of cement themselves in that NEC picture. You know, they won game one. They had a lead at halftime in game two for Sacred Heart. It was looking like they were going to get to 9-7. Well, Sacred Heart found a way to win that game, and now they are, you know, solely in place to you know, kind of control their own destiny and get that bye.
Yeah, not for sure, man. I mean, Sacred Heart definitely, that was definitely a big time victory for Sacred Heart over the weekend, man. I continue to be impressed, man, by Wagner because they're currently on an 8-game win streak with a chance to stretch that to a 10-game win streak if they are able to get these two against Central. So, I mean, imagine you going to the conference tournament on a 10-game win streak or needing to win two games to get to the NCAA tournament, you know. So, I mean, they're the hottest team in the league right now. We obviously know Bryant got off to a hot start, you know, was in first place. And then Wagner has just taken the league absolutely by storm. So, I think Wagner is, you know, if I had to pick one team, I'd say they're the team to beat right now simply because they're, you know, they're a team that's, you know, won 8 straight games with a chance to get the 10 straight games, really, is going to be a force to be reckoned with. But like I said, I mean, I definitely would not count out Bryant. Obviously, we know Coach Grasso for all his years at Iona has a plethora of NCAA tournament experience, conference tournament experience. They have you know a very talented roster, so they're definitely going to be you know have something to say about that as well, man. But the NEC is definitely going to be fun.
Yeah, man. Wagner has you know. They have a couple of good players. Obviously, Elijah Ford leading them in scoring right now at 18-7. Alex Morales, you know, at 17-7. Will Martinez at 12-5, and then Lonnie Hunt at 11-4. So I mean, they got four guys averaging double figures, man. You know, they can score with the absolute best of them, man. They're a fun team to watch. So I mean, I think you know they're definitely you know them and Brian. I mean, you know, Brian's you know they lead the country in tempo.
You know, so or I think the second in the country, because Cobham State, I believe, was first in Temple. KenPom seed or who's first now. But, you know, I think if we potentially get a Brian Wagner, you know, NEC Championship Series, that would be a fun series to watch.
Get your popcorn ready, man. That game is going to be gonna be played in the 90s. Sure. I'll definitely be looking forward to that, man. The last league I want to touch on, man, is the MEAC. You know, because we actually had some big time games in the MEAC this weekend. Finally, you know, the MEAC South is finally catching up. You know, the MEAC North has been playing this whole season, man. The MEAC South is finally catching up. A&T and FAMU was able to play to a split down there at FAMU. You know, FAMU is the dungeon. For all you guys who don't know, I know many of you guys don't you know follow you know MEAC hoops, man. But you know, this is what we're here for. You know, we're here to enlighten you guys. You know. Mm-hmm. FAMU, man, honestly, both of them Florida schools, obviously Bethune opted out this year, but Bethune and FAM are two tough places to play on the road, but especially FAM, I don't know what it is. They have this big, huge arena. It's kind of dim in there with the lights. In a normal year, they got their, you know, the band in there, the fans dancing on the sideline, but it's extremely hard to win down there. And, you know, FAMU was able to get a win over A&T, who's currently in first place, their only loss in the MEAC this year, and they swept Central at home, you know. So, you know, currently A&T is at first place in that MEAC South at 6-1. FAMU is in second place right now at 4-3, and Central is third at 2-3. You know, Central obviously is the defending regular season champs, the three-time defending conference tournament champs, but they're struggling right now sitting at 2-3. They lost to A&T last night on their home court. We know, you know, Coach Moten is going to get those guys ready for the conference tournament when the time comes, you know, but I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. FAMU, we haven't seen them in the MEAC tournament in so long because they were banned. But this year, they're going to be able to play in the MEAC tournament finally. So I'm definitely excited to see them as well. Also, Norfolk was able to get a win over Delaware State to get to 8-4. Cobham State is obviously going to play Delaware State. We're going to kind of preview that a little bit later, man. But Norfolk handles business. They get to 8-4 with a win over Delaware State. In the MEAC South, man, definitely some fun action in the MEAC South over the weekend.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was surprised to see that A&T and Central result. Obviously, you know, A&T beat them by 16 points. They're going to play again on Saturday on ESPN. You're looking at a televised game. I don't know why they chose to do it Wednesday, Saturday, but in any event, those games are always extremely fun. It sucks that, you know, there's not going to be any fans there. But, you know, nevertheless, that game is definitely going to be, you know, going to be an important one. You know, for A&T, you could potentially lock up, you know, the regular season down there in the MEAC South. With a win, man. So, you know, I think going into the MEAC tournament, man, it's going to be fun, man. I mean, it's going to be a fun tournament. You're going to have teams from North Payne, teams from the South, man. We know Norfolk, Morgan, and Cobham are extremely good. You know, Central obviously has extreme pedigree in the MEAC, you know, and then A&T is really good. You know, they are really, really, really good. And, you know, fam, I don't know what it is about that gym, man. They were undefeated at home last year in the MEAC, and they're 4-1 at home this year in their home gym, man. So, whatever it is that they got going on down there, I don't know what it is, man, but they simply find ways to win in that gym. Thankfully, the MEAC tournament is not in that gym, you know. So they're going to have to get
– FAMU would be MEAC chance if it was.
Oh, no, FAMU did one for sure be MEAC chance if they had got the host tournament. I mean, they're 1-8 on the road, so I don't really see them doing too much in the MEAC tournament. But, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be a fun tournament. You never want to count out Central, even though they're 2-3. LaBelle Moten is a great coach. A&T is extremely talented. And then them teams from North, Morgan, Cobham, and Norfolk are going to have something to say about it as well, man. So the MEAC is going to be a fun league to watch down the stretch, man.
Not for sure, man. For sure, man. Definitely is going to be fun. But, man, it is time for our favorite segment of the week. The craziest thing we saw, man, and it was crazy because we were talking about this actually, you know, last night, man. Let me pull up the clip, you know, let's pull up the footage, man, of, since actually, you know, obviously, you know, this is a mid-major podcast, you know, we talk about basketball, which does not exclude women's basketball, you know, this gem does not come from the men's basketball landscape. The craziest thing we saw this time around actually came from a women's game, and I don't want to butcher this young lady's name, but it was a game out of the American Conference between Cincinnati and East Carolina. I don't want to butcher her name, but I want to say it might be Amari.
I think it might be Amari Thomas. She broke the Cincinnati scoring record against ECU, scoring 51 buckets. And I'm gonna let Ace, you know, give you guys the breakdown of how she was scoring, man. But I mean, anytime you can throw a 50 ball, definitely gotta shout you out, man. I know, like I said, this is a college basketball podcast, so you know we're gonna show some love to the ladies with this one, man, doing great things.
Yeah, y'all know I usually love my bad beats. And my guy Travis Atkins actually featured on Bad Beats this week. You know, he almost, you know, screwed the over in that St. Francis Brooklyn Sacred Heart game. But you know, so that was funny because he's one of my good friends. But I saw this ECU Cincinnati. This girl went for 51 on straight ducking layups. I mean, it was literally duck in, turn around, layup, duck in, steal, layup. Like, she had a few moves where it was like one dribble, you know, drop step, layup, you know, a few drop steps in there. But I mean, she had 51, and I don't think she made it a field goal outside of 5 feet. I mean, it was 51 points on straight duck in layups. It was absolutely unbelievable to see. I mean, there was no double team. There was no front in the post. I mean, it was, I'm going to let you go one-on-one. And if you get the better of our post player, so be it. I mean, no, I don't know how you let a team score 50 on straight ducking layups.
That was the problem. ECU was fronting the post. And they fronted it, yeah. and fronted it. And she just sealed over the top layup. And I was like, wow, yo, where's the help? Where's the weak side? Where's the clamp? Where's the something? Like, you just keep letting this girl seal you over and over again. Seal, layup. I mean, Jesus Christ, you out there deep on down there. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. It was definitely crazy to see, man. I mean, I'm watching the video, I'm watching the highlights. I'm like, all right, I'm waiting to see like an isolation bucket. Like, I'm waiting to see a step back. I'm waiting to see some dribble moves. And I just keep seeing seal, layup, all the way to 51. So, definitely shout out to you, man. I believe her name is Amari Thomas, but nonetheless, you know, shout out to the Cincinnati women's basketball team for you know, breaking the all-time scoring record. 51 of them guys, man. You know, fellas, man, we got to take those. I don't think I've seen any 50 balls in the men's side this year. I believe we had a couple 40 balls, you know, but no 50 balls. So shout out to you for throwing up the half century, you know, on ECU last night.
Yeah, for sure, man. That definitely was extremely surprising to see, man. Props to her for sure, man. But definitely want to get you prepared for some games for this weekend, man. And I'm going to start us off with the SoCon, you know, my favorite conference. And this is going to be, you know, there's a few games with postseason implications, but this one is going to be extremely, extremely huge between Furman and Wofford. This Saturday, they are going to play for all the marbles, essentially, in the SoCon. Matter of fact, I believe that game. I want to see who's going to be the home team, because that's going to be a huge game. But Furman, you know, I talked a lot about Furman, you know, this whole season. You know, I've loved Furman. Drew has been really high on Wofford, but that game is going to be taking place from Furman this weekend. They're going to be at home as they take on Wofford, and this game is essentially going to be for the regular season championship. Obviously, Furman right now is sitting atop the standings right now at 10-4. Wofford's 11-5, and then UNCG is at 12-5. They're technically a half game back of Furman and Wofford right now, who are essentially tied, you know, for the conference lead right now because of win percentage. But man, Furman and Wofford is going to be a fun game, man. It's going to be a fun series to watch. These are the best two teams in the SoCon in terms of scoring margin. Furman obviously has outscored opponents by 11.7 points per game. Wofford has outscored opponents by 7.1 points per game, man. So these are essentially the two best teams in the league. For Furman, man, I mean, I think, you know, they're a team where you don't know who's going to beat you, man. I mean, they've had games where obviously we know Mike Boswell is extremely good. He averages just about 15 points a game for Furman, but you also have Alex Hunter, you also have Noah Gurley, you also have Dylan Slauson. All those guys can come out there and lead you in scoring. I mean, Noah Gurley, I mean, has quietly been the X factor for this team. I mean, over his last four games, he averaged 19 points per game, and they've won all four of those games. So I think, you know, he's crossed the 20 point per game plateau in three of those wins. But he's really come on really, really strong late for this Furman team. And, I mean, they, you know, they've been letting scoring by different dudes, you know, at different points what season. I mean, obviously, Mike Botwell has, Jalen Slauson has, Alex Hunter has, Noah Gurley has. I mean, they're a team that is extremely potent offensively.
They're also a really good defensive team, man. And I've been high on them on them all season, man. Obviously, for Wofford, you have Thorne Murphy, who's one of the best players in the league. You know, Wofford is 10-2 in game where he scores at least 18 points, man. So he is absolutely key for them. You know, basically, you know, when he plays well, they play well. You know what I mean? And definitely so. I mean, he's averaging about 18 points a game. So in games that he gets his average, they win. You know, they're 10-2 in game where he gets to 18. So I think, you know, if he can get off, you know, they'll be able to be in good position, you know, to win that game. In that first game versus Furman, Wofford won that game and he had 24. You know, so Furman had to slow him down. Obviously, in this second matchup, they're going to get him obviously on their home court. You know, which should help. I think the game is going to be at Wofford. Actually, this weekend, man. So Wofford. Wofford is going to be at home. Yes, Wofford is going to be at home this weekend. Excuse me, I said they were going to be early. Wofford is going to be at home this weekend as they conclude regular season versus Furman, man. So I'm definitely going to be looking at that matchup, obviously. And then also UNCG, if they get a win, can get a share. If UNCG wins and Furman loses, UNCG can get a share of the regular season championship. They're going to go to ETSU this weekend to conclude their regular season, man. If UNCG is able to get a win, all three of those teams will be tied atop the loss column with 5 losses. Essentially, if Furman wins, they get the regular season championship outright. But if Wofford is able to win and UNCG is able to win, then there will be a 3-way tie atop the SoCon standings, man. So those are 2 SoCon games I'll definitely be looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, like you mentioned, I think I would pick Wofford to win that one. I think Storm Murphy is definitely a difference maker for Wofford, and I think that, you know, them being at home, I think that does bode well for them in this game. But we'll have to see, man. Like you said, man, Furman's obviously a very talented team, and they're gonna have something to say about that, man. When you have your regular season chip online, man, that definitely gives you a little bit of extra juice, you know, in your engine, man. So we'll see what happens in that one. I think in the A-10, man, we're gonna have the game I'm looking forward to. It's gonna be Richmond at St. Louis. That's gonna tip off on Friday. These two teams were teams that, you know, beginning of the season, beginning of the A-10 schedule, these two teams are gonna be in play for at-large bid, you know, and they effectively probably both played themselves out of an at-large bid. Yeah, but nonetheless, they're going to be facing off on Friday. And the American East, man, is conference tourney time, man. So we're going to have Stony Brook matching up against UMass Lowell. Binghamton is going to play Hartford. NJIT is going to play Albany, man. So it's crazy, man. We're already at conference tournament time for tournaments, man. We've been covering mid-majors all year, man. It's just, you know, regular season games, going to games, and it's time. I mean, it's time. It's time. You know, March is among us. You know, a lot of these other leagues are going to be wrapping up. The regular season is here pretty soon, and it's going to be, you know, do or die time. You know, so it's going to be do or die time in the American East as well, man. I don't know, man. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to see. You know, definitely going to be a fun couple of games, you know, in the American East as they, you know, gear up for conference play.
Yeah, for sure, man. We talk about the postseason. You know, one team that's not going to be playing in the postseason is Bellarmine. You know, but they have an opportunity to potentially win a regular season championship this weekend. They're going to play Liberty. Both of these teams are tied atop the Atlantic Sun right now. And obviously, Bellarmine, like you said earlier, we had obviously head coach Joey Gallo on the podcast last week. You know, he said that he wants to, you know, try to set up this, you know, let us play classic after the year. So this might not be, you know, the last time we see Bellarmine this year. I hope they can get that scheduled. I don't know if they're actually, you know, on the phone trying to figure that out right now. But, you know, I really do hope that they are. You know, it's going to be one game, one take all series, man. It's not a back to back. It's one game for all the marbles. Liberty's 10-2, Bellarmine's 10-2. You know, they both have one game left on their regular season, man. Saturday, 2 p.m., man, for all the marbles in the Atlantic Sun, man. So it's going to be at Liberty. You know, both teams are extremely, extremely hot right now. You know, Liberty's won 5 in a row, Bellarmine's won 5 in a row, man. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be basically, something has to give, you know, and you know, for a Bellarmine team that isn't playing for anything, you know, it would be awesome to see them be able to win their, you know, conference regular season in the first year in Division I, you know, just like Merrimack did last year in their first year of Division I. Obviously, we saw Liberty was able to get a sweep over North Alabama, and Darius McGee had himself a weekend, you know, night one. He scores 29 And then night two, he follows that up with a 24-point performance with Memphis. So he's playing some really, really good basketball right now for Liberty. So it's gonna be a fun matchup, man. But Larmine, you know, like you said, it's their first year of Division I, man. But you know, since they got swept early in the year by Lipscomb, and that was back all the way in January 8th and 9th, and they have not lost a game since then, man. So they are probably one of the hottest teams in America, you know, right now, not named Baylor and Gonzaga. I've been looking at teams haven't lost all year. Bellarmine has not lost since January, man. So they're riding, obviously playing some great basketball right now, and it's going to be a great game this Saturday as they take on Liberty.
Not for sure, man. Definitely going to be a fun game, man. I'm rooting for Bellarmine, man. I'm rooting for Bellarmine just because, like I said, man, it would be fun to see another team come from D2 and win the regular season championship, man, in their first year in D1, man. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that. To the MAC we go, man. We're going to have the Buffalo rivalry, man. We're going to have Canisius at Niagara in a game that, obviously, like you said, man, Niagara almost nearly – got a sweep over Siena last week, and Canisius is a team that's playing some great basketball as of late, coming off pause. So that's going to be a big time series there up in Buffalo. QU is going to play Marys, man. QU is obviously playing some great basketball as well. Like we mentioned, they're riding a 3-game win streak. Marys is a team that is extremely, extremely tough. Quinnipiac is going to be on the road with a chance to get, presently, Sanders win streak to get 4-1-0, 5-1-0 potentially, and get back to 500, man. They're going to be on the road. I would not predict them sweeping Marist. My interest of the imagination, Marist obviously, very tough team as well on the defensive end of the floor. Their leading scorer only averages, basically 11 points a game, 10.9. Ricardo Wright is at 11 a game, essentially. And this is a team that, wins games on the defensive side of the ball. This is a team, that like I said, man, they're going to grind it out. We know what we're going to get from any John Dunn coach team. So it's going to be offense first defense, man. We mentioned the freshman of the year race. Ricardo Wright is a guy who's, been solid, man. After 11 points a game, 3 boards, 2 assists as a freshman for Marist, man. So, he's definitely going to be going to have something to say about that rookie of the year award as well when it comes down to the end of the year, man. But those are the two games that I'm looking forward to in the night this weekend.
Yeah, for sure, man. To the Mountain West we go. It's going to be a huge, huge, huge weekend for the Mountain West. San Diego State and Boise State are playing Thursday and Saturday. That's essentially going to be for the regular season championship out there in the Mountain West, man. I cannot wait for this game, man. I mean, Derek Alston has had a great year, obviously, for Boise State. And San Diego State is one of the best defensive teams in the country right now, and they're playing some of their best basketball right now. I mean, San Diego State's won their last 8 games. Boise's won their last 4. So they're both playing great, great basketball. I really want to see, how the San Diego State team, how the Boise State team, if they can potentially get a split here. I mean, San Diego State's going to be playing at home. So it's going to be tough to go there and get a win, man. But, if Boise can find a way to get it done, they're both tied in the loss column right now with 3 losses in the Mountain West as well as Colorado State. Obviously, Colorado State is going to play Air Force this weekend. They could potentially get 13 wins. San Diego State, if they can get a sweep, they'll get a share of the Mountain West Championship, at 13-3 as well, man. So that's going to be a huge series for them. And, of course, Nevada, we talked about this earlier, Nevada and Utah State are going to play Friday and Sunday. It's going to be at Utah State, so that's going to be a huge game. Utah State, in terms of their tournament, the tournament expectations going forward, man, they're going to have to. I think a sweep is what they need to do. If they lose one of these games, it's going to be extremely tough. And God help them if they get swept. They get swept, they may as well pack their flight to the NIT right now because they ain't going to be playing in March.
Yeah, hey, high stakes, man. High stakes in the Mountain West this weekend, man. And I wouldn't want it any other way. to the NEC, man, definitely have some fun matchups that are going to have heavy implications on the playoff season. We're going to have LIU at Bryant tonight. Also, man, St. Francis Brooklyn is going to travel to Merrimack to begin a 2-game series. St. Francis Brooklyn needs to get 2 wins, quite frankly, man. Right now they're 8-8. If they can get 2 wins over Merrimack, that will put them at 10-8, which will put them right back into the thick of things as far as getting into that top 4. For Merrimack, obviously, if they want to get back into the regular season championship picture, they're going to need to get these 2 wins if they can get to 10 wins as well. I think as far as the regular season championship, I'm pretty sure that
I think it's pretty safe to assume that Wagner's probably going to win that. I'm at 10-4 right now. I wouldn't, you know, I would pretty much get at least one game over Central. But I would really think they're going to get to 12-4. At worst, 11-5. And if they do get to 11-5, I believe that would be good enough to get into a regular season title. Unless Bryant is able to finish the season pretty strong, man. But LIU and Bryant tonight is going to be a big time implication as far as, you know, two teams that are, you know, currently, and I believe second and fourth in the standings right now. So major implications as far as seeding there. You know, if God forbid if Bryant loses this game, then that's going to definitely hurt their chances to be in the top four. And the same goes for LIU. To the MEAC. Coppin State is going to travel to Delaware State this weekend for a series, man, where they need to get two wins. If they want to continue to have a chance to win the regular season in the MEAC North, they absolutely need to get these two wins and get to 10-4. And I think that'll, you know, I think if they can do that, then, you know, we'll see what happens, man. Also, Central is going to travel to A&T for the rematch of that Eagle Aggie Classic. You know, part two, obviously we saw A&T, you know, defeat Central pretty handily in game one. I know those guys are going to be chomping at the bit to get another opportunity to avenge that loss in game two, man. A&T is a tough place to play, though. And I know that, you know, I'm not sure if they're going to have fans. I don't think they're going to have fans, but I don't know. Down south is a whole different world. So they might allow a couple of dudes up in there, maybe the marching band or something like that. A&T is a tough place to play, man. So Central is definitely going to have the eyes stacked against them, man. I don't know. I mean, if A&T gets a sweep over Central, they go to 7-1. Central goes to 2-4. I mean, it's going to be tough, man. Central's definitely going to be in a bind, man. They might find themselves playing, you know, on that first night in the MEAC tournament, which is, I mean, unforeseen territory for Lavelle Moulton. You know, they normally have a pretty solid bye there in the MEAC tournament, man. But I think if they lose this game to A&T, they can definitely pretty much guarantee themselves a date with an opponent on the first night of that MEAC tournament. And then for Coppin State, obviously they can pull off two wins over Delaware State. They can put themselves in position to secure a regular season title. I talked to Coach Auslander at Coppin State the other day. Right now, them and Morgan are obviously both tied at the top. They're both tied. I believe they're 6-4 in the MEAC right now. Norfolk is at the top at 8-4. So Morgan's supposed to play Delaware State. They're trying to see if they can get those games rescheduled. If they can get them rescheduled, and if Morgan takes care of business, then I believe that it would be between them and Norfolk. I think if they do get the games rescheduled and it ends up being a three-way tie, I believe Coppin would then go to third. You know, I guess that's how the tiebreaker will shake out. But if Morgan does end up, if those games versus Delaware State do not end up getting rescheduled for Morgan, and it's just Coppin and Norfolk at the top of the MEAC, then Coppin would be regular season champs by way of their three wins over Norfolk State. So we'll see what happens with those Morgan-Delaware State games if they end up getting rescheduled or not. I'm sure if you're Kevin Brodus, you're going to be pushing those games to get scheduled and get played, you know. But I think, you know, COVID and the MEAC will definitely have, you know, the last say as far as that, as far as scheduling. But, you know, we'll see, man. A lot of conferences, man, are going to be decided this weekend. So, I mean, you know, what more could you ask for, you know, for a mid-major podcast, you know, with a lot of championships online, man?
Yeah, for sure, man. And, you know, in the OVC, Belmont is going to have opportunity to conclude their regular season. They're going to face the second, and obviously they're first in the OVC. They haven't lost since freaking November, December. They're riding a 21-game winning streak right now. They're going to go for 22 and 23 in a row. They're going to travel to Eastern Kentucky and then to Morehead State. Eastern Kentucky is currently third in the OVC. Morehead State is currently second in the OVC. They've all but wrapped up the regular season championship. Yeah, they're 18-0, so they're going to be regular season champions in the OVC. They have two road games, but, you know, they're 10-0 on the road this year. So, you know, Belmont, you know, like I said, we don't really talk about them enough on this podcast. They've, you know, only won 21 games in a row. So they're going to wrap up their regular season. They're playing tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. So once you tune into this podcast, go ahead and tune into ESPN Plus. They're going to play Eastern Kentucky. And then Saturday, they're going to travel to Morehead State to wrap up their regular season in the OVC.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think you're just spanking them. I mean, you said, you know, Bellarmine is you know, the hottest team in America outside of Gonzaga and Baylor. I think Belmont would definitely beg to differ. I think they're definitely the hottest team in the country outside of Gonzaga and Baylor, man. It might be even more hot than Baylor because I just saw Baylor almost lose to Iowa State on their home court the other night. You know, so I don't know, man. Belmont definitely going to be an absolute force to be reckoned with if and when they get into the NCAA tournament. For whoever they see in the first round.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. For sure, man. Look, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Auto Bid, man. Make sure you guys are, you know, tapping in with all of our content. Make sure you follow us on social media at All Facts Media. We have a YouTube channel, All Facts Media, which we just got updated. We just got the update for YouTube channel. We got all our videos up there. Also, our website is updated with our video catalog, with our newest articles and everything. So make sure you guys are tapping in that content. Also, like I said, we're on Twitter and Instagram at All Facts Media. Make sure you guys are liking, sharing, subscribing to this podcast, man. Every like counts, every share counts, you know, every rating that we get counts, man. So we thank you for everybody that tunes into our podcast, listens to our content, man. It truly does mean a lot, man. Make sure you guys get a nice, warm, cozy seat on that couch this weekend, man, for all the college basketball that's gonna be you know, taking place this weekend, man.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. Definitely got a jam-packed weekend, man. I can't wait for next week's episode when we can come back and digest all this stuff and, you know, see who's going to be rocking their regular season championship T-shirts, cutting down the nets, and putting themselves in a position to go, you know, win a conference tournament in March, man. So that's going to be a wrap for this episode, guys, man. We'll see you guys next week. Make sure you guys head over to Twitter, man, like Ace said, man. Check out all of our recent content, man. Got tons of game recaps. Tons of videos up on our YouTube channel, man. So, you guys are in quarantine. It's COVID. You guys don't have nothing to do. You know, go get caught up on college basketball, man, so you can be up to date when the NCAA tournament comes around. It's time for you guys to make your brackets. We are the most trusted mid-major source in America, man. You're not going to get this type of mid-major coverage from anywhere else. And, you know, we are two fine young black brothers trying to make it, you know. So, make sure you guys support us, man. Show us some love, man. It definitely goes a long way, you know. But we're going to let Pull Up Tay take us out as always. We'll catch you guys next week, man. Stay safe, be blessed, and stay COVID free. You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. Reject, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion?